HealthMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a treat for you. Armin Brott, author, fantastic author, of the books relating to fatherhood and what expectant fathers should know. There are all kinds of books. Of course, What to Expect When You're Expecting is the most prominent of the books for women. I'd like to say that ours, You're Having a Baby, is done well, but it didn't do well, even though it's a fantastic book. I must admit that Mehmet and I wrote about 8 years ago. It still keeps selling, but at a low level, You Having a Baby. But Armin Brott has done a series of books. He's host of Positive Parenting, a weekly radio program that airs in the San Francisco Bay Area and a number of other markets, as well as on Armed Forces Radio. He is the Ask Mr. Doc, Mr. Dad, national syndicated column host, as well as has written a number of bestsellers, including The Expectant Father, The Ultimate Guide for Dads-to-Be, and The New Father, A Dad's Guide to the First Years, both published by Abbeville Press, as well as he has also written The Military Father, A Hands-on Guide for Deployed Dads, and a number of others. Now, Armin, thanks very much for coming on. We've got a series of questions for you already lined up, and I told people that if they send emails in advance or send emails anytime now, youdocs@gmail.com, we'll try and get the questions to you, and the best question will, in fact, get a book. So Dennis asks a question, and we'll start out with this. We've entered the nesting phase of our first pregnancy and now have a new vacuum, two new couches, and a fancy crock pot. How do most dads make it through the last trimester without drowning in the new? Why does a baby need new living room furniture?
Baby doesn't need new living room furniture. If it were me, I would take most of that stuff back. I think what a baby needs is a couple of changes of clothes, some diapers, a nice place to change the baby, and a crib. I am just not a big believer in gadgets and in overloading your house with stuff that you just don't need, especially because the baby's going to grow out of the stuff in an incredibly short amount of time. And if you've loaded up with all sorts of fancy things that are going to last you 3 months, you're going to be really unhappy.
And obviously new couches last for a long time. That's not a bad thing in general to have new couches.
How many do you need, though?
That's the exact question from the new dad. So what does one do when the wife comes and says, I need a couch? In other words, there is this phase when I think women say, I need, this is nesting, if you will, we need to change our home.
Oh, I think in particular in the latter stages of pregnancy, you say, yes, dear, and you do what she asks. I think it's the sanest and smartest thing to do. I mean, it's important to understand what she's going through in that last couple of months is that she's really focusing on the dad in particular, and is he going to be there? Is he going to love me? Is he going to love the baby? And so you, as the dad, have got to do those, to demonstrate those things, even though you're still going through something completely different. You're going through what she went through a month or so before, a couple months before, which is, can we afford this? How am I going to be a good dad? That's, which are very different things. So you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to be the perfect dad and the most incredible husband and spouse, and she's going to be putting a lot of pressure on you to be there and demonstrate on a constant level how much you love her and how much you care about her, how committed you are to being there for the baby.
There's another question here that's a little, it's a Cleveland question, if you will. Although our the engineer is in Chicago, as you probably have learned, and the uplink is in New York City to the satellite. I'm in Cleveland, you're in probably Oakland or Piedmont or someplace around the Bay Area. Judging from the area code, Armin Brott we're talking to, but this is a Cleveland thing, is LeBron James seems to demonstrate a difference in the NBA players from this episode, from prior episodes, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, maybe it still goes on. He seems to be a good dad. How did he do that without a role model for a dad?
You know, I got to tell you, I was just having a conversation about this very thing with a nephew of mine who's a fanatical basketball fan, and we just had our Golden State Warriors just won the finals and happened to overcome LeBron. But, you know, we're looking at him and thinking he really did not come into fatherhood with all of the advantages that, some other people do. So I don't know how he did it exactly, but I think what he's got somehow, in the same way that he has this incredible amount of talent and an incredible ability to pass without looking and to be in the right place at the right time, I think he has translated that somehow into his life, and he said, I don't care whether somebody passes me a good set of genes or somebody passes me a role model, I am going to be there, I am going to do the right thing at the right time. So I think it's a wonderful example of not, you know, this whole thing about the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It does. It falls really far from the tree if you make it. And he's made that commitment, and he's decided that whatever obstacles, whether he knew his father or not, he's decided to overcome that and to be the kind of father that he wants to be and that his kids need him to be.
It's interesting, when you look at the statistics, it is that 16% of father, actually I have a question we'll get to in a second, but 16% of men report that they father one child, 16% two children, and 16% three or more kids. And I guess 50% report not having any kids. Isn't that an interesting? Is that right? Is it now 50% of our men don't have a child?
No, I don't think that's right at all. I'd want to look at those statistics. I can't tell you exactly what they are, but I mean, we all know that something like north of 80% of women have kids. So I can't imagine that only 50% of men and 80% of women are having kids. That means that the guys are awfully busy, or the women are awfully busy, and the guys aren't doing much. I would say that it's got to be closer to 75.
Gotcha. And the same survey said that among men who report themselves to be homosexual, bisexual, 22% have a biologic child. But that doesn't come back to how you prepare for pregnancy. And another question is, how does technology change fatherhood? In other words, are fathers taking many more pictures? What else are they doing differently? And is that good or bad?
Well, there's a couple things. In the very early stages of fatherhood, I think the internet and dad blogger groups and parenting groups and the ability to find pretty much anything you want anytime you want has made it so much easier for dads to ask the kinds of questions that they might have been embarrassed to ask in person, so they can go online and they can talk to other guys who are going through the same thing. They can, you know, again, ask these questions without feeling embarrassed or feeling like they have to know everything or feeling like they don't want their wife to worry about them. So that part of technology has been fantastic. I think that a little bit further into fatherhood, starting at probably age 2 even these days, we have to deal with the tablets and the phones and the touch screens and the kinds of technology that our kids are being exposed to that we were never exposed to, I mean, until we started having kids probably. And so there's dealing with that. I mean, taking advantage of the incredible amount of technology and the ability to do things and take pictures and post them on Instagram and get comments, and that's wonderful. On the other hand, you've got, I think, way too much happening way too soon for kids.
When we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Mr. Dad, MrDad.com, MRDAD.com, Armin Brott, who is called Super Dad, Super Dad. The book and the references to Positive Parenting, a weekly radio program he runs, and the books are tremendous. The New Father. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Armin Brott.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And we're talking to Erman Brott, B-R-O-T-T, who's the author of a fabulous set of books relating to fathers and parenting, The Expectant Father, The Ultimate Guide for Dads-to-Be, and The New Father, A Dad's Guide to the First Years. I'm going to modify one of these questions that was asked. It is, I know mom's voice is heard by baby, and they respond to her after birth because of that voice. At least that's what I've heard. What about dad's voice? Is dad's voice heard by the baby before delivery, and do they respond to dad's voice because of that? And if so, how does a deployed dad start bonding before the baby arrives?
Boy, that's a lot of questions. I guess the short answer about the mom part is yes, they definitely respond to mom's voices, and there have been all sorts of wonderful studies about this where researchers had moms read one particular story, and then they had them occasionally read another one, and after the babies were, this was during the pregnancy, after the babies were born, the babies chose, I mean, when they were just days old, they chose by adjusting the speed of their sucking on a specially rigged pacifier to hear the story that their mother read more than the one that she didn't read. So there's no question that that's happening. There's also no question that babies are responding to dads as well. And I highly recommend, this is one of the things that I do, that I talk to military dads all the time about, which is before you go, if you've got a pregnant wife, you record yourself reading some stories and, you know, simple things, the Good Night Moon or the Cat in the Hat, something with a nice rhythm to it that's not too long or too complicated, and have your wife play that every day during the pregnancy and have the wife play that every day after the baby is born. And for those guys, they come back home and they start saying in the great green room, you know, with the first lines of something that they've read all the time, and the kid will turn to look at them. That instantly brings them so much closer to the baby, and it's exactly the same thing whether you're deployed or not. If you're in a regular family, your wife is having a baby, within minutes after the baby's born, if you start saying something and the baby turns to look at you, which is what will happen most of the time, that is something that brings the dads and the kids so much closer than just sort of looking at this kid and thinking, what do I do now?
I guess that's one way technology has, to answer the other question, that's one way technology has really changed things, because you could record it on an iPhone or a Android phone and ship it.
You
and
could.
Your wife play it all the time, as opposed to, it was pretty tough to, in back in the 70s, I guess you could have done it on a dictating machine and used the dictating machine or a tape recorder. But we didn't have the digital recorders that are currently available. So that helps answer that other question, too.
There's no question. It's a lot easier now, yeah.
And this obviously is a personal question. When we're trying to encourage our children, our son who's recently married, to have grandkids, is there anything we should do in the expectant father range? Should we buy your book and send it to him as a hint? What do you do?
You know, I hear from a lot of women who buy the book and use that as an announcement, a way of saying, honey, we're expecting, kind of a thing. I think that would be a really great gift. I mean, I'm not just trying to sell books, but I mean, honestly, I think that would be a nice thing. I mean, it coming from you especially, and saying, hey, you know what? We want you to do this. We want you to be prepared. We know it can be kind of frightening. And you know, you may not have I may not have been around as much, or you know, whatever else you want to say. But to say, we're here for you, and we're going to start giving you the resources that you need and that you want as quickly as possible. And we'll always be here to answer any other questions that you want. But we're in your corner. You're not doing this alone. I think that's what sending a book like The Expectant Father does.
What a great idea. So I like that one both as a idea. And so if you want to bundle them and you're listening to the show, you can send You Having a Baby to your potential family members, your family members who are potentially going to have a child, as well as, now, which of the books should they send? The Expectant Father, The New Father? Which is the best one for non-military?
Oh, for non-military, I think for somebody who is either in a pregnancy situation or pre-pregnancy like your son, I would say The Expectant Father is the one. But, you know, that expectant part only lasts 9 months. So, you know, you can buy both of them together. They're not that expensive. The New Father, A Dad's Guide to the First Year is also, it continues the process of explaining every step of the way what's going on with the mom, what's going on with the baby, what the dad is going through, how he should be involved at every stage of the pregnancy, and then how he should be involved at every stage of fatherhood. It's so important for the dads to know what's going on with the kid, especially after they have a baby in hand. What's an appropriate way to do things? I think a lot of guys have, I mean, I have these memories of making these Willie Mays catches, running, you know, dead away from home plate when I was about 6 years old. And somebody told me years ago, no, you didn't. That never happened, because a six-year-old cannot physically make a catch like that. So we have these ideas in our head of all the things that we want to do and what's appropriate for a kid, and a lot of it's not. So understanding where our kids are child developmentally and intelligently, and how much we should expect from them as far as vocabulary, that's really important to being an involved dad. It keeps you from getting frustrated by trying to do things with your kid that he's not ready to do.
Isn't that great? I like that. Now, there's some other questions that are really, I'm laughing only because, I got a note here. You better hope that your kids are not listening.
Well, my kids don't listen either there.
What about adopting a baby? Is it harder to bond with a child that is not biologically yours? And how do you prepare if you're a guy for adopting a baby?
I think really and truly a place to start would be looking at The Expectant Father and You Having a Baby. I'm sure it's got a lot of the same stuff in there. The part before you have a baby, and it's harder to pin down exactly what the time's going to be if you're adopting, but the time before that, you could consider it a psychological pregnancy. You're getting ready. You're getting ready for the baby to come into your life. You're changing. And so it can be somewhat harder to bond. And part of what people have to get over, especially dads, and especially dads who might have not been able to get their wife pregnant, is the feeling of failure and the feeling of resigned to second best kind of a thing. And I'm not saying that adopting is failure or second best, but I think a lot of people feel that, and adopting is not their first choice. So getting over that is going to be really important.
Ah, isn't that important? Thank you very much. This is a great segment on having being an expectant father, the ultimate guide for dads to be, and the new father, a dad's guide to the first years, and of course the military father. You can listen to the show Positive Parenting.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.